Friends, please open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We'll be reading from verse 12 through 21, and we'll be studying from verse 12 through 16. Remember, congregation, that we've been working through Philippians now for quite some time, I believe since April, and we've seen how Paul in prison is yet able to rejoice for the hope of the gospel that is in him, because he knows that the Lord has worked and continues to work in his life and in the life of the Philippians. Therefore, we read then from verse 12 through 21. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to, even to subdue, all things to himself. As far as the reading of God's holy and perfect word, let's pray, congregation. Lord, we come before you this morning and we pray that you would work a work in our hearts to teach us to look forward to the resurrection, to teach us to reach for the resurrection, to teach us to live lives which strain and yearn and push towards perfection. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know how many of you have run in a race before. I've had the opportunity to do so a few times. I love running, even if, to be perfectly honest, I am not the best runner. However, if you were to go and examine or look at a couple different races, you would find that races generally have a few things in common. Every race, whether it be a marathon, half marathon, a 10K, a 5K, every race has a beginning. The runners gather together often in the early morning, 4 a.m., 6 a.m., and every runner gets a number that they place on their chest or on their side or on their back, and they wait behind the starting line until the signal is given. A gun goes off, and then everybody starts to run. Every race has a beginning. Every race, furthermore, has obstacles that must be overcome. There are hills. There are roads that are badly maintained. There are puddles that have to be traversed. Other runners will run all around you and you have to watch out for them. Sometimes there's even traffic and you have to be aware of the traffic that's going around you. Every race has an end, a finish line, where the runners no longer need to run because the race is over, and there they can rest, and there they can refresh themselves because they have reached the end. Every race, finally, and most importantly, has a prize, a trophy, a medal of some kind, perhaps a cash prize, which is given to the people who make it to the end. Brothers and sisters, if you were to consider it carefully, you would find that there are many, many different ways in which our lives as Christians are very much like a race. Like a race, the Christian life has a beginning, a time when Christ called you to himself, when you are made alive by the work of the Holy Spirit, where you began to run the Christian race. Like a race, the Christian life has obstacles that must be overcome, trials, hardships, temptations. Sometimes the Christian life can be difficult only by virtue of its length. Perhaps some of you have been running with Christ for years now or decades. Like a race, the Christian life of sanctification has an end point where after death we don't need to struggle any longer, but without sin we can say, like Paul, I have run the good race, I have finished the fight, I have kept the faith. For at our death congregation, God glorifies us and makes us perfect. And like a race, most importantly for our passage this morning, the Christian life has a prize. The prize of the resurrection. The prize of life in Christ's presence. The crown which we are given upon reaching heaven. It's for these reasons that Paul here uses the image of a race to encourage us and to encourage the Philippians in our sanctification. It was Paul's desire that the people of Philippi and us as well, that we would eagerly desire to live a holy life as we wait for Christ's return, as we wait for that moment in which we are glorified. Paul wants us to live holy lives, to run the race that's set before us, to seek to put away sin, to put on Christ as we wait for the resurrection. He does this really in two ways, congregation. Paul here first teaches us to desire sanctification, and second, he explains how sanctification is to be carried out. First, congregation, Paul teaches us the desire for sanctification. The desire for sanctification, and he teaches us this in verse 12. Look with me there. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Brothers and sisters, at the very outset of our passage this morning, Paul says that he has not already attained. And we ought to ask ourselves immediately, well, not attained what? What is it that he has not yet attained? What is he referring to here? Look back with me at the first half of this chapter and remember, congregation, what Paul has been speaking about. In verse 1 through 11, Paul speaks very, very strongly about the fact that we in ourselves can do nothing to save ourselves. Our righteousness on our own is worthless and less than worthless. In fact, Paul says he considers it as dung, using a very, very strong word. But Paul also holds that Christ is a wonderful Savior, that he is beautiful and perfect, that we should therefore throw away our own righteousness to belong to Jesus, to have his righteousness. And look with what he says at verse 9 through 11. He says that he counts them all as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So what Paul is saying here when he says, I have not already attained, he's referring to the resurrection. He tells us he has not yet reached the resurrection. He is not yet perfect. He is not yet in the presence of Jesus, his Lord and Savior. Paul knows that he has not yet reached the finish line, so to speak. Now remember who's speaking here, friends. Paul is a man who has lost all things for the sake of Jesus Christ. He was a man highly respected in the Jewish community, but all the respect the Jews had for him went away when he began to proclaim the Savior. He was a man who had been listened to, but since his conversion to Christ, he had been thrown out of one town after another. He was a man who was certainly in many ways a part of high society, but at the moment he was writing this letter, because of the cause of Christ, he was under house arrest, chained to a guard. This Paul was a holy man, a man the Holy Spirit used mightily for the church, in some regards one of the holiest men certainly who ever lived, and yet he says, he's not perfect yet. He has not yet attained unto the resurrection. He knows it's coming. He knows that by the work of Christ, he will stand secure on that final day. But he does not wish to come to Christ half-heartedly. He longs for perfection. He longs to be without sin. It is his earnest desire that he might live a holy life. So, like any good runner, he continues to run. No good runner wants to stop until he wins the prize. And this is what Paul has in his heart. Paul says again in verse 12, I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. And this word, congregation, that we have here, I press on, we could also translate it, I persecute. This is the same word that Paul uses earlier on in this chapter when he says that he was a persecutor of the church. The idea in Greek is that of running after something, that of seeking to grab something, going to follow after or to run in pursuit. And Paul says, therefore, I persecute, I pursue, I yearn for, I long for, I run after Christ. He yearns to take hold of. A little later in this chapter, he will say that he strains in verse 14, I press toward the goal. For the prize. This word, pushing forward or seeking, straining with every nerve, Paul yearns after perfection, yearns to be sanctified, to take hold of Jesus Christ, to take hold of perfection, to take hold of the resurrection for which he says Christ has taken hold of him. Now, brothers and sisters, when you look at your lives, if you're in Christ, there is a sense that is true in which you are at home. As Paul says, I have died. My life is hid with Christ Jesus above. And that is true for every Christian, that in fact we have died. Now, even now, congregation, if you belong to Jesus Christ, there is a sense in which your life is hid in Christ Jesus. And even now you are in the presence of your King. But even though this is the case, nonetheless, no Christian on earth is perfect yet. We don't know Christ as we ought. We don't love Christ as we ought. We have not yet reached the finish line of the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, it should be our earnest desire, as Paul, to pursue the resurrection, to pursue that for which we take hold of Christ. If, congregation, you belong to Christ, you should be eagerly racing towards sanctification, straining every nerve, running towards Christ. Perhaps, friend, your life in sanctification is this way now. Perhaps you can't wait for Christ's return. Maybe you're steadfastly striving to be sanctified. If this is the case, brothers and sisters, you should be encouraged. God calls us to a life of sanctification, and if it is your desire and your goal to be sanctified, and if every day you lay aside your sin and you put on Jesus Christ, that's cause for celebration. You should rejoice that God has given you this strength to run the race that's set before you. Perhaps, on the other hand, congregation, you feel nothing right now. Perhaps you have been and do pursue sanctification actively. It does happen, however, that there may be times in your life when you do not desire sanctification as you ought. When you have not backslidden, but your heart is not where it should be. And it feels as though you're going through the motions. If this is your case, brother and sister, first of all, you should be encouraged that you are continuing in the Christian walk. Yet it should be, nonetheless, your goal, your hope to also desire that sanctification, to pursue, to take hold of that for which Christ also has taken hold of you. Friend, do you yearn for sanctification? Do you long to be perfect? Do you long to lay aside your sin? It should be your desire. Perhaps, on the other hand, brother or sister, it may be that now you desire sanctification, but you find it so hard to be sanctified. If this is your case, friend, look at what Paul says here. He says he presses on. He pursues. Verse 14 says he presses toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Brother and sister, if you now desire sanctification but do not actively are not being sanctified, then look to God. Pray to Him. Seek to be sanctified. Perhaps now, on the other hand, congregation, you have backslidden. Perhaps now, for a little while, you felt very little impulse to run the race which Christ has set before you. And there may be times in your life when this occurs. So don't be discouraged to quit the race simply because you're having a hard time for a while. On the other hand, it should worry you if you are not being sanctified. Imagine for a moment, congregation, that you were watching a race and you were to see a runner stop running, lay down on the ground, and fall asleep. You would immediately know that there is something wrong with that runner. Why? Because a runner in a race seeks to press on towards the end. They will not be content to sit down. And if they are sitting down, congregation, that runner knows there's something wrong with them. They should be running. They should be continuing on. To give you another image not related to running, congregation, imagine for a moment that you are speaking to a man and talking to him of his marriage, and you ask him how his wife is doing, and he says, "I don't know." Wouldn't that be concerning? If this man has no clue how his wife is doing, if perhaps he hasn't spoken to her, there's evidence that there's something wrong in their marriage. In the same way, congregation, if we are not actively pursuing sanctification, there's something wrong there. We ought to be concerned. Congregation, consider your heart this morning. How is it with your heart? Do you yearn for sanctification? Do you want it? Do you actively run after it? Just as a runner pursues a race and will not stop until he comes to the finish line, it should be our desire as well. Second, however, congregation, Paul tells us of the aim of sanctification. The aim of sanctification. And he says this in verse 13 and 14. Look with me there. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, if you've been following me up to this point and you know that God calls you to run the race that's set before you, you may be asking yourself, well, how? Yes, I want to be sanctified, but how? This is, to be honest, congregation, one of the most common questions that is asked. How, in practical terms, can we learn to be sanctified? How, in practical terms, can we leave behind sin and put on Jesus Christ? I was listening to another pastor preached through this passage a couple weeks ago, and it was astounding to me. He said that there was a seminary where they gave an interview for every seminarian that was leaving that seminary, and they asked them, what did you most need or what did you most miss about the seminary here? What did you not get that you were hoping to get? And the most common response for all of them was this: I wish I had learned more about how to live the Christian life. It's very sad that a seminary could have people leaving it and still not knowing how to live a Christian life. Yet nonetheless, congregation, this is something that is so common. That we go and we know that we ought to be sanctified, and yet we say, I don't know how. Paul lays out exactly how in these verses. He says he does one thing, and then he gives us two things. But one thing he does with two parts. First, he says he forgets what lies behind. He forgets what lies behind. He says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Congregation, what happens when a runner looks backwards when he's running? If a runner is running a race and he looks backwards, what is going to take place? One of two things. First, either he is going to trip over the obstacles that he's not looking at, or he must slow down because he's got his eye on other things. These sorts of things happen so often in races. If you are to watch a race of professional runners, even the professional runners, there are times when they are giving it their all, they look backwards and they have to slow down. And therefore, other people pass them. And those who win the race are often those who look straight ahead, who have their eyes focused merely on that which is ahead and not that which is behind. In the same way, brothers and sisters, Paul recognizes in order to keep from falling behind, in order to keep from tripping on that which lies ahead, Paul must forget that which lies behind him. His sins, his failures, his accomplishments, his successes. Paul knows that if he's always thinking about his past sins and failures, he will become discouraged. It'll be harder for him to run. And so therefore, Paul says, I forget that which lies behind. On the opposite end, Paul knows if he's always thinking about his accomplishments, the good that he's done in his past, he'll be tempted to sit back and to take it easy, to imagine he's further along the race than he really is. Now, Paul is not saying that we should never think about our past failures. Paul is not saying here that we should never consider where God has brought us from the beginning until now. No, Paul is saying here that we should not continually dwell on these things. Jesus himself has said, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Therefore, Paul forgets what lies behind. Again, Paul says he stretches out towards that which lies ahead. Just as any good runner keeps his eyes on the prize, fixed on what is coming up, and especially on the finish line, just as every runner takes joy from the fact that he can see the end ahead, so too Paul looks ahead with his eyes dead set on the resurrection. He knows that there are trials ahead. He knows that he will face persecution. He knows that there he may very well be condemned to death in Rome, where he is now imprisoned. But beyond the grave, he sees the crown. Beyond his death, he sees new life in Christ. Beyond persecutions, he sees the glory of the resurrection. And this congregation is how Paul is able to press forward to the goal of God's glory. Paul is eager to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. He loves Jesus. He wants to be upwards in heaven with Jesus. He has been called and promised a place there, but he waits for the resurrection. And as he waits for the resurrection, he does not sit idle. He runs towards the destination, leaving behind all the heavy burdens of his own righteousness, leaving behind his own past, aiming towards the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Therefore, brothers and sisters, are you now struggling in your sanctification? If you are, then learn from Paul here. What ought to be your aim? First of all, don't look behind. Don't look at all your past sins and your mistakes as if they'll somehow hinder your walk with Jesus Christ. Yes, there may be times to think on what God has done in your life, but you are not called to always be saying, woe is me for the past sins I have committed. If you are in Christ, you have been washed from your sin. You may have committed great sins, it is true. I know that I have. But for those of you who are in Christ, even though we may suffer consequences for our actions, nonetheless, if and when we repent, there is forgiveness. Congregation, looking back upon your past sins can only cause you to stumble. On the other hand, Don't look back on your past accomplishments. Don't look back on the things that you've done well. After all, when we do such a thing, these things become the point of our pride. If you've ever had any great victory over sin, congregation, I'm sure you've seen in your own lives that very quickly that becomes a reason for present foolishness. That the moment we say, I have done well, is when we find ourselves in sin. Congregation, perhaps you remember the story of the tortoise and the hare. Boys and girls, many of you have certainly heard this story many times. A tortoise and a hare, a turtle and a rabbit go and they decide to race and they begin to run. And soon enough, the rabbit has left the turtle long behind and he says, well, I've done well. Certainly, he will never catch up to me. He falls asleep. And soon enough, the turtle has passed him and has arrived at the finish line and the hare is left behind. In the same way, congregation, I know perhaps it's a bit of a funny image to give, but if we think that we are doing well, if we think that we have run far, then we will quickly realize that we have fallen behind. Again, friends, if you are struggling with your sanctification, don't only stop looking back, but also, congregation, keep your eyes fixed ahead. Reach out. Strain towards this prize which is promised you. Friends, think on this prize often. Paul says here that he strains forward, pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Think on this call. Think on this prize. Think on Christ Jesus who lays ahead. You don't run, brothers and sisters, towards a medal or a trophy or even a crown. You don't run towards some sort of cash prize as they do in earthly races. No, you run towards Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb slain for you, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the bright and morning star, the lily of the valley, the most precious among 10,000, he who is altogether lovely. You run towards the one who loved you, who gave his life for you. You run towards the Savior, the dearest friend you could ever have, the bridegroom of the church, the heir of all creation. You run towards an eternity with him, the resurrection, the wedding feast, a life free from sin, free from sadness, free from illness, a life of perfect joy. You run towards the new Jerusalem, a place paved with gold, whose gates are as pearl. Friends, consider what you run towards. When you lack strength and sanctification, look towards heaven, where your life is seated upon the throne, and sanctification will become a much easier thing. Brothers and sisters, in applying this truth, I'd like to perhaps take a moment. Many of us certainly do not have the strength in sanctification that we ought to have. There may be a reason why this is the case. And so I'd like to perform the job, if you'll excuse the metaphor here, of a sports doctor. I want to help examine you and see if you struggle in sanctification, how we can apply this truth. Examine your specific case. Perhaps, congregation, you are a young believer. Perhaps your legs have not been trained yet, and so as you run, you say, I wish to run, but I grow so tired. Well, if so, congregation, take strength from the prize. You may be a young believer. You may find it hard to walk or run in the Christian race, but take strength from the prize. Look forward to Jesus Christ. Perhaps, congregation, you are not only a young believer, or perhaps not a young believer, but you are an old believer, somebody who is very mature, who has run with Christ now for many years, and your legs grow tired. If so, again, take strength in Jesus Christ. Press forward. Look to what's ahead. The finish line is so close. The day comes, and it will be soon, perhaps, when you are with the Savior. Perhaps, congregation, you suffer now from a weakness of some kind. A theological weakness where you feel as though for all this time you have not felt as though sanctification is important. Perhaps only recently or only studying from this passage you begin to say, I ought to be sanctified. Well, Paul recognizes that there were some in his day who were this way. Verse 15 says that, therefore let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Congregation, if now you have thought recently that only sanctification is not important, well then look to this passage. God gives us the strength and the desire to be sanctified. Look to Him. Perhaps you have not a weakness in theology, but a weakness of the will. Perhaps you are like a runner who keeps falling and tripping, and you get up and you trip again. I dearly love my mother, but one thing that I must say about her is her eyesight is not very good. When she goes running, she falls very regularly. Every couple weeks, I'll see her with new bruises, new scrapes on her body because she went running and she fell. And that can be our Christian life so often, that we begin to run and then we fall. And we stand up and we run again and then we fall. If this is your case, dear friend, forget what lies behind, put it aside, face Christ in the resurrection. Yes, there will be times when you fall. Put it behind you. Remember that Christ lived a perfect life. And look towards Him. Continue running. Perhaps, congregation, you are tired. Perhaps there has been some great injury in your life. Someone you love has died. You have faced a serious trial, and your heart is not where it ought to be. And so you do not run with the strength that you ought. If so, friend, continue to look to Christ. Remember His worth and His beauty. Look to Him. Finally, congregation, perhaps you're just at the start. Perhaps you have heard the gun go off, so to speak, and you stand at the start and you have not yet begun your Christian walk. If so, look at the pattern of Paul here. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Turn to Jesus Christ, dear friend. If you now have not begun to run toward Him, do so now. He is worth every injury. He is worth every trial. He is worth every struggle that we face in this life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that You would teach us to run. We pray that You would teach us to live lives which glorify You. because of what Christ has done on the cross, Lord, teach us to set our eyes upon him, never to waver, never to turn aside. In Jesus' name, amen.